July 8, 2020, it's a Walk from Pedro show.
finding it hard to believe that you care. So we just watch as the clouds go by and jump out thinking that we can fly. Get a little closer if you dare. Too fast, you left me far behind. It's easy to see how the things could go wrong, but you still have the key to my heart. I don't see how we could stay apart. Hold me to you as we.
Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Brother Matt, we're still in quarantino mode, so he's the Love Grotto 3 miles south here, but I'm not man alone, thanks to those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software invention. I got Elizabeth. You're talking to me from Woodstock, New York?
I'm not in Woodstock proper. I'm outside of Woodstock. I'm like 3 miles away.
And what's that town called?
It's called Glenford.
Okay.
Although, I don't anybody track me down here.
No street address, okay.
Right. Well, it would be easy enough to find. It's a very small town.
Just the vicinity, people. She, Miss Alpha Cat deserves her privacy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I do deserve it.
Yeah, right, right. We all do, right? Let's, mutual. Feeling is mutual. We started the show off with John Coltrane with Miles Davis doing On Green Dolphin Street. And then Gold Rush, which you enlightened me to the fact it's got Dick Lloyd, Richard Lloyd on the guitar.
Oh, you mean Ground Rush?
Oh, yeah. What did I say? Gold Rush?
Yeah. I thought you were talking
about California,
Neil,
you know, the 49er state, you know.
No, right, I'm an idiot. Right.
That was a fucking...
I thought you were
I blew a clam, Elizabeth. I blew a clam. So take out the big rubber eraser and erase that, and let's put in Ground Rush. But getting back, incredible guitar man. I think he's living in Chattanooga these days, Richard Lloyd.
Yeah, he is.
I read his book, like, in 2 days, The Combustible Whatever.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, man.
I spent enough time talking to him that I could pretty much guess what's in it.
Well, he's got in it that Jimmy punches him up.
Oh, yeah.
Like two in the gut and one in the face. And then later...
And he cried into his
Van. Right, in his Corvette. Right. That's an incredible story. And then Robert Plant, the singer Led Zeppelin, his dope name is Percy. Like he's looking.
Robert Plant's dope name is Percy.
Yeah, yeah, according to this book. Anyway, I suggest it to anybody. Well, when you read it, it'll come back to you. He also hitchhikes from the city down to SoCal, like 400 miles. Starts off with a clothes sack and a guitar, no case, right? He throws away the clothes sack. He fucking hoofs it. 400 miles with a guitar in his fucking hand, a Silver Lake. Incredible. Silver pants on. But let's talk about you, Elizabeth. Your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, my God. Well, there are two things that come to mind. One is that my mother had this, she had a copy of Dionne Warwick's Greatest Hits. That she would play just pretty much on repeat constantly. And everyone loved it, but I loved it more than everyone because even, you know, my sisters today, because I'm like, I'm always listening to music, right, when I'm not working. And my sisters are like, how can you listen to music all the time like that? And I'm like, I love it.
Yeah, I'm not you. And what was the other thing?
The other thing was that I remember when I was a child and I was old enough to help wash the dishes after dinner. And I would listen to, I think it was the top 10. And I don't remember if it was a nightly or a weekly. But there was one particular song, and I'm not going to date myself, that was repeatedly at number one. And I loved it, even though... The subject matter was something that I had absolutely, you know, it's a good argument for reincarnation because I had absolutely no earthly concept of what it was talking about, you know, from the standpoint of maybe a 5-year-old. And every time that song was number one again, I would jump up and down screaming and cheering.
Now, in the pad you grew up, was there instruments? Musical instruments?
Well, you know, my sister, I grew up mostly in Florida, and my sister had a guitar.
Oh, okay.
So I would play her guitar, and I would learn how to play, you know, songs that I liked on the guitar.
Did you take lessons?
I didn't take guitar lessons then. I think I did take piano lessons when I was a child.
Was there piano in the pad?
Was it what?
Piano in the house.
Yeah, we had this upright piano. But I think, I can't remember if I went to the teacher or she came to me. I don't remember.
Well, what about the experience? Because a lot of people I've had on the show, it's been, they almost chased them away from music.
Well, you know, I'm an Aquarius, so, you know, I don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah. It usually seems like it's the teacher. that decides if it's a good experience or a bad one.
Well, you know, I do not remember why it ended. I just remember that I was glad it did.
Okay. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
Well, there's the first record I got for myself.
Yeah.
And there's the first record I bought for myself.
Okay.
And the first record, my older sister, who is 7 years older than me, had a bunch of records.
Uh-huh.
And she lived in, you know, on the opposite side of the house from me. And I would sneak into her room and listen to her records, you know, knowing full well that if she found out that, you know, I would be in trouble. But I particularly liked Elton John's Madman Across the Water, which kind of, you know, makes sense considering the kind of stuff that I do. But, you know, one day she came and she said, you know what, why don't you pick any record that you want and you can have it? And that's the one I picked.
Wow, okay. What about the first gig you went to?
Oh, my God, that would really date me. You know, I just have to qualify this by saying that, you know, one of the things that I decided when I decided to start putting music out again last year was, you know, obviously I'm not in my 20s anymore, but my music is something that I feel is not about, you know, a particular age, race, gender, etc. It's about life.
Yeah.
And so I made a conscious decision not to limit my audience by revealing my age, and I've since stopped revealing my face. Aside from, you know, I've replaced a lot of my images that I had that were from, you know, when I first started AlphaCat with pictures of me as a child, because it's kind of the implicit inner child that, you know, I had to heal, that I'm in this process of healing. And I know that sounds woo-woo, but basically, you know, it's kind of like saying, it's kind of like a rebirth for me.
What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
When I was 16, my father left us and moved to Wichita, Kansas. And my mother dragged me and my youngest sister. My other two sisters were older. They were out of the house already. And my mother dragged us to Kansas, where we weren't wanted. And they stuck me in a private school. And I had always been in a public school. And the private school was a nightmare for me. And they hated me and I hated them. And they were very snobby about people who had gone to public school. But haha, you know, when we took the SATs and they had a meeting after the SATs.
Yeah.
Where they called people out and shamed them.
Yeah, that's great.
And I, having spent all of my schooling in public schools in Florida, got the second highest SAT scores in the school. Second only to the one guy who was a complete genius and got a perfect score.
Ah, well, congrats.
But that back to the choir.
Yeah, did you do any music?
While I was in that school, I did somehow become involved in the choir, and I just remember feeling this pure joy of being able to just sing out with all these other voices, and just the power of it.
Sure.
You know, that was like my first memory of really, like, you know, experiencing the power of, you know, what I like, which is collaboration.
That's great. I want to play All the Right Things. Alpha Cat.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, we heard Alpha Cat doing All the Right Things. Then brand new from CPI, O'Sara, Dietrich and Barnes with People Person. Tim Barnes, great drummer man. John Dietrich from Deerhoof. And there's a brand new Deerhoof record we got with Wadada Leo Smith, Mountain Moves. Pat Smear after that, guitar man from The Germs from his second solo record. Round Eye out of Shanghai. Doing Catatonic, not a communist. Few and Anna Da Silva with I. And finally, Alpha Cat with 7-Year Itch. And I thank you for supplying the little document that gave all the insights to these tunes and stuff. It helped me learn a little about you. What about the stuff? It didn't seem like you made many friends at that fucking private school. But was there anybody, you know the thing where you have the garage band or the basement band after school, the cellar band or whatever?
Yeah.
Did you do some of that?
Now, what I did was, when I was in Florida, I got into tennis, and I got really quite good at it.
Tennis.
And then
you're talking about the sport, tennis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when I moved to Kansas, basically the headmaster, who was a complete dick, forced me to join the tennis team. And I was essentially traumatized, because what was going on in that house was not good. And so, you know, I joined the C team, and the first practice, the coach had us line up with our rackets and literally threw the balls at us by hand. And I swung and missed. And I was mortified. And then somehow, 2 weeks later, I got my shit together. And I started playing like I could play. Yeah. And my coach was like, I don't understand how Elizabeth got so much better so quickly. For the first year I was on, or for the first part of the year, I guess for the fall semester or whatever the first semester I was there, I played on a C team, and we would go to these tournaments, and, you know, the C team was not a good team except for me. And so what would happen was we would each play a match, and everyone else on the team would lose their match without winning a point, and I would win my match without losing a point. And then you know, so then I got on the A team eventually, and that was kind of fun because, and those, the people on the A team, the tennis team, were pretty nice to me, I have to say. They were the only ones that were nice to me, and we got to go on, you know, trips. Like, I remember we went to Dallas, and we went to a Magic Pan restaurant, and that was the fanciest restaurant I had ever been to, because my parents did not take us out to dinner when we were growing up.
But no bands. You didn't. When did you start playing with other people, doing music with other people?
I actually started playing with other people after I moved to Boston, but I never, I won't say I never played out. What I did was I had a roommate. I was living in Cambridge, and I had a roommate who had been in a band, and so he would play guitar, and we would rehearse in his bedroom, you know, these songs that I had written.
Let me ask you, Elizabeth, when did you start writing songs?
Well, pretty much right after I got out, right when I got to Boston.
Which is after high school?
After college.
After college, okay.
Yeah.
And so and you wrote them on guitar because you learned guitar from your sister and played them on guitar, composed. I mean, there's some kind of, like, the way me and D-Boom, when we first learned, we tried to copy songs off records. We didn't even try writing our own songs for years.
Well, I mean, I do have a memory because when I was in Kansas, the memories are hazy, but I did get some kind of shitty electric guitar. And I had a stereo that you could plug the guitar into the stereo and play along. And I remember one day I was, you know, playing electric guitar along to some Led Zeppelin record. And, you know, I felt playing very well, you know, in retrospect, it probably wasn't very good, but I remember my mom walking in and it was like she had caught me masturbating. I was like, get out of here. What are you doing?
Let's just jump forward to Cambridge. Is that where you first performed in front of people?
Oh no, I never performed when I lived in Boston. Oh, well, okay. No. The only time I performed when I lived in Boston was this friend of mine who would play, you know, songs with me, and, you know, we shared an apartment. I shared an apartment with three men, and he was the one that had been in a band, and another one of my roommates, who's still my friend, was a rock critic at the time, and he came up with this idea of doing this gig at this wedding down on the Jersey Shore. So he brings in a drummer and a bass player that he knew. And there was no rehearsal. I had never performed in front of anyone in my life. You know, I had, you know, we're on this wraparound porch on this, you know, I don't know what you would call it, cottage, but more like a mansion on the Jersey Shore with, you know, a road separating us from the beach. And I just remember that I had to fortify myself with a number of gin and tonics before I actually, you know, got in front of the people.
What was the material? What was the material?
It was my songs.
Ah, okay. So you, wow. Never played in front of anybody before, and right from the get-go, damn.
Well, no, listen to what happened.
Okay.
So we get up there. The drummer doesn't know the songs at all. The bass player didn't know the songs at all.
Yeah, because there was no practice, right?
My friend, who did know the songs, froze up. Uh-oh. And it was just like when I skydived, like everybody was so concerned that I was going to be the one that was going to freeze up. And what happened was, you know, the same thing from jumping out of the airplane to, you know, starting up the song on that porch in Jersey is drummer sucked, bass player sucked, guitar player froze up. And I did the song.
Okay.
And then after that, after we finished the first song, I hear someone from the audience, quotation marks, say rather loudly, "That was the worst crap I've ever heard in my life."
We call those character builders. Look
right. And then so we start the second song, and we were saved because some drunk guy was driving in front of the house, and he drove off of the road onto the beach, and all these police cars came with sirens, and we just got the fuck out of there.
You were bum rushed.
And that was the gig. That was the gig.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, July 8, 2020. Special guest, Elizabeth. Hold tight for hour two. July 8, 2020, second hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
So crude.
Capigro Show start off the second hour with Alpha Cat doing Something of Value. Then Hi-Fi Club out of France, Toulon, Navire de Sauvetage. New Heart, a lot of noise over there.
Sorry, I'm coming inside. I was outside smoking cigarettes.
Okay.
But then it started raining, and I didn't want the rain sound to interfere.
Glen Cove? Rainy Glen Cove. Okay, New Heart Folk after that with the Wagoneer's Lad. Magnet Heart's brand new album. Jonathan Hall, Living in Her Hair. And then Alpha Cat with Pearl Harbor. So tell me about when did Alpha Cat get going?
Well, what happened was, you know, I had done my first studio demo in Manhattan, on which Richard Lloyd played on all of the songs. And then, you know, I had also met, and this was through, I met both of them through a connection with Jim Master of the Bongos, who I had photographed when I was living in Atlanta. So, you know, when I moved to the New York area, I ran into Mastro, and he said, oh, I need photos for my new band, the Health and Happiness Show. And Richard Lowe was a guitar player. And Richard and I, you know, both are kind of crazy. So we hit it off. And he agreed to play on my first studio demo. And Mastro had and still has this guitar store in Hoboken, which at the time Fred Smith was working at, and that's how I got to know Fred.
The television basement after Richard Hill.
Yeah, Fred had co-produced both Real Boy and Pearl Harbor. And I say co-produced because Fred is the most humble person that I've probably ever met. And, you know, when we finished both records, he insisted that I be named as co-producer because of what I had done in the making of the record.
Yeah, he's really a good bass man. I've seen him with television a couple times.
Well, yeah, you know, I made a note because I had never seen television live until 2001 when they went and they played all Tomorrow's Parties. And I decided to go over there and play a gig in London. And I brought my backing singer with me. And we went out to all Tomorrow's Parties. And that was the first time I saw television live. And I have to say, you know, I had television records, but I couldn't say that I was, like, a huge fan. It wasn't like I played them all the time. I rarely played them. But when I saw them live and I saw, you know, these dueling guitars between Lloyd and Verlaine and this crazy jazz drumming.
Billy Fika. You know, yeah.
Billy Fika. Yeah, and then Fred, it's like all of that, without Fred, would have just been a disaster. To me, Fred is the thing that makes television's music make sense.
Wow.
He pulls it all together. If it weren't for Fred, it would just be a cacophony.
I saw him at the Whiskey in the 70s, and the Hollywood punks were calling him hippies.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't understand that because, I don't know. You know, in those days it was strange, you know. But they were, the second time I saw him was at the Roxy, not as good. But the first time was pretty good, you know. To me it was all wild, especially compared to with Arena Rock, you know. It was all, I want to play Black Hole.
Falling into a black hole. Look like your heart felt like my soul. Now I've got nowhere to go. From this inside out looks like the end of the world.
Decided to show me the same. No sweeping exits or offstage lights could make me feel bitter and treat you unkind. Wild horses couldn't drag me away. Wild, wild horses, you'll ride them someday.
Show. Black Hole from Alpha Cat. People, that's not a cover of the Urinal Song off God, maybe it was called Black Hole, but it's a 4-song 7-inch, and I'm a Bug was one of the two. Minutemen were huge Urinal fans. And then we have Pete Lochner from the old Cleveland scene doing Wild Horses. He tried to join television, but I think he
pulled. Oh, really?
Yeah, Tony Mamone told me he pulled out a gun, though, and scared Tom Verlaine.
Well, yeah, that would scare Tom. If of course it would scare anyone, but Tom in particular.
Yeah. So then we heard Center from Dan Klukas, Jeff Bishop, Damon Smith, Matt Crane, some improvised music there. Maya from the City with Birdsong, Opium Trails from the '60s, For Your Love. You know, we used to cover bands in the moment. And then finally, Mockingbird from Alpha Cat. Okay, so your first studio demo, God, we kind of jumped up quick. I mean, how did it come to this point where you're going to make a studio demo? And that's what you called Alpha Cat?
No, not at that point.
Okay.
I didn't call myself anything. Prior to that, I had been married, and I lived in this little apartment in Jersey City, and I don't know if he was my husband at the time, it doesn't matter. We found there was another person, there was a man named Mick who was actually British, who lived in the same building, and he played bass and keyboards. And I don't know how we found this drummer. I don't remember his name. We rehearsed in the basement, and the drummer insisted that he have a TV in front of him while we were rehearsing so that he could watch The Cosby Show. Christ. So, you know, of course, that did not go over well with me. So I said, you know, I said to my husband, I'm like, you know, you got to say something to this guy. So he did, and, you know, the guy's like, well, you're just pussy whipped. That was, you know, that's, and I don't remember if we fired him after that drama. Or...
People are assholes. People are assholes.
I mean, imagine
yeah.
that has to have a TV in front of him while he's rehearsing.
Yeah. I would have said, don't let the hatch hit you in the ass as you're flying out.
You know, I've never done any of this shit before.
Sure.
You know? I mean, I made a note. It's like, I wrote accidental performer because that's really what I became. That's what I am.
You know, Jersey City, there's a great radio station, WFMU.
Yeah, you know, they refused to play my records, my record Real Boy, and they would sell, and it was on, you know, it was on the national CMJ charts, and it beat Beck and Metallica in the ad charts. And they would not play it, and my friend went down because they did this sale every year where they sold, you know, which they're not supposed to do. They sold all of the CDs that had been sent to them as comps by these bands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, one of my friends is like, well, they have the copy of Real Boy for sale, you know, in their bins. And I was like, those fuckers.
So,
you
know what? I shouldn't have brought that up, Elizabeth. I'm sorry. I didn't know. But I know they're doing gigs there now. It's like, well, not now because of the COVID-19. But the bottom place is like a venue.
I mean, I haven't been in Jersey City since 2004, so.
Yeah, this is more recent. Maybe a couple of years ago, yeah.
And I'm sure all the personnel have changed. And
yeah, I think the program director for a long time was Greg Turner, right?
I don't remember.
I wasn't involved in that.
Okay. I didn't know who any program directors were. When I made the demo that turned into Real Boy with Fred, it was just a demo. And I just thought, and we both liked it a lot. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe we'll try to get this on the radio and see what happens.
Okay. We're at the end of the second hour, July 8th, 2020, just watch the Pedro Show. Special guest Elizabeth, hold tight for hour three. July 8th, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
I didn't want to write a song about you. I felt that somehow you were fond of memory different. You got me topped off on, and I know an F-O-man around. But with your hand on the gear, I feel we're moving in the proper direction.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Thatch Roof Glass House from Alpha Cat. Waste of Space after that with Robot Maiden, Crane, who was awesome, Waste of Space in Idaho. The one for me, Dream Chamber Phase 5, Brie Wave Entertainment, David Gerard, who lives in Boston. Chris Burns from Montreal after that with Julia. And finally, Mona Lisa in a comic book, Alpha Cat. So, you were saying off air, you knew how to book a tour.
Well, I knew how to book a gig.
Book a gig, so you were going to book a tour for Alpha Cat, right?
Right, because when the band got together, Real Boy was already on the charts. So they basically went out in support of a record that they weren't on. And I did know how to book gigs. What I didn't know how to do is how to promote the gigs. So, you know, basically what I did was I picked, you know, East Coast, and then we did some Midwest because, we did go to Evansville, Indiana, where we had been number one. Where the record had been number one. And, so we went to these shows and, you know, I didn't book any radio. I didn't book any press. I didn't know how to do that. I figured out how to rent a van and I had actually met this tour director. When I went on a cruise with my parents in 1999 when my dad was starting to get Alzheimer's. And so I was the one that went on the cruise with them. And on that cruise, I met this friend and Real Boy. I had a copy of it. It wasn't out yet. And I played it for him and, you know, sitting on top of the riverboat and smoking cigarettes and listening to Real Boy. And so when it came time to do the tour, I asked him if he wanted to be the tour manager, and he was like, yeah. So he actually did plan the routes, which was at a time when everyone was using MapQuest, and MapQuest was not good. And there was one drive where we were literally like, it would say, get off at exit 87. And then we would get off at exit 87 and we would drive on a service road. And then it would say, get on to exit 88. And that went on for like 2 hours where MapQuest was basically just taking us on and off the service road.
I want to play Armor here.
Yeah. God in my heart. Thank you.
Final music for this edition, Armor from Alpha Cat, some live. And after that, Galexisy from Out in the Desert here, Joshua Tree. Heaven Channel Season 1, LP 5. These guys just recorded 8 albums, so you can be productive in the lockdown. 8 fucking albums.
I'm not that prolific.
Yeah, Raquel and Jared's quite a team. And then Groove Crater Method. It's Brother Phil up in Big Bear doing Apocalypse 4 Bad Horses 911 mix. And finally, Venus Smile, another live thing from the Alpha Cat. So what is this panties on the bed story?
Well, you know, I spent $2,000 on the van for I don't know how many weeks it was, and you know, so we were not staying in nice hotels. And there was one in particular, I don't even remember what town it was, but the boys in the band, Derek and our drummer, Derek the singer and Nick Best, our drummer, shared one room. And then me and Angela Babin, who was the guitarist, electric guitarist, and Lori Bingle, the bass player, stayed in another room. And so somebody was sleeping next to, and there were two double beds, and somebody was sleeping in the bed toward, on the door side next to the AC, and decided that, you know, it was too loud or too cold, and, you know, did I want to switch? So I was like, sure. And so I slept through the night in this bed, and in the morning, you know, the covers get pulled down. Oh, and through the night, you know, before I was asleep and then after I woke up, there was something around my feet. And I was like, that's weird. Like, the sheets are all bunched up, or I don't know what is going on. And in the morning, we pull the covers back, and there's panties in the bed. So I say to Angela, are these your panties? And she says, no. And Lori said they weren't hers, and I knew damn well they weren't mine. So they were cotton, and they had little flowers on them, and I was so horrified that I had slept through the night with these used, certainly used, panties wrapped around my feet. And then Angela opened one of the drawers to the, you know, the dresser, and that was filled with clothes. Okay. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, did somebody just, like, go on the lam and just leave all their stuff here? It was really bad, but it was actually extremely funny as well. Because once Lori said they weren't hers, I knew they weren't mine.
Where can people find you on the internet, Elizabeth?
The website is alphacat.band. Facebook, my Facebook has been hacked.
Yeah, and fuck that shit anyway. It's good you have your own website. I like that because no filter, no middleman. That's all.
Well, I mean, I liked the Facebook because, you know, I could post every day, and I like to post mostly other people's stuff because I'm always looking for stuff. You know, I'm always interested in stuff, and I like to put up other people's stuff, you know, mostly comedy and mostly music and, you know, some political stuff.
Well, what's your next musical plan?
Well, what's happening is that Thatch Roof Glass House is going to be reborn. I have a new promoter, which is number 3 for this record, Planetary in L.A., and we are going to send it out to college. And so it's going to be like new, and we're starting out with a single, Thatch Roof Glass House. I think it comes out, I can't remember the date, this month. And then in August, we're sending out the record.
Well,
so it's basically just starting over.
If you met a young lady getting into this racket, what would be your advice?
I am extremely obsessed and always have been with Prince. And, you know, I'm sure you recall, and I certainly recall, when he was trying to get he was trying to put music out, and they wouldn't let him put out what he wanted to put out. And he changed his name to a symbol, and then, you know, he wrote Slave on his forehead, and everybody thought he was crazy at the time. But, and then I remember hearing the story of Pink, you know, meeting with Prince and about maybe working together. And he said, and when I saw her telling the story, she was like kind of pissed off about it. But she said that he said to her, do you own your own masters? And she said, no. And he said, get back to me when you do.
That's good advice. Absolutely. Elizabeth, I want to thank you so much. Been a big honor to have you on the show. Wish you the best luck with the Thatch Roof Glass House. And thank you, really, for being
thank
on the
you.
Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay. People, it's July 8, 2020. This is the Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.